Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel, and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Well, how about that? Everybody, what were you asking me now?
We'll talk after, I guess. I thought it was still muted. My bad.
No, I opened everything up real quick because we were going to be jumping right into
that?
It. Because, I don't know, because it's easy. That's generally why. Why not, right? But good one on deck tonight. We're going to have episode number 181, and this is falling down already. Awesome. So we'll just sit with poor posture and yawn all show. Tommy Woodward is going to be joining us here on the line to talk a little bit about Bash for Cash. That's sitting just around the corner. We'll roll out on Friday night. Tommy, I assume, is going to have to leave in a little bit earlier than that. Brian, of course, joining us. This is the first time that you've been in the new studio.
It is. I've been crazy busy about the last month between overseeing weightlifting for the football team and baseball for the youngest and just working. And I finally made it back. It's good to be here. Pretty neat to see the new surroundings.
It's a fallout shelter, just in case.
Fallout shelter, just in case.
Big sign still out there.
Duck and cover.
Yeah. The IKEA desk that we're using might not do it, but the concrete wall should be fine. Jason Sherman making the trip in as well. Jake, glad you can make the trip up.
Thanks.
You got a load of stuff to pick up.
In
the parking lot.
Car full.
Those signs are heavier than you think.
Yeah. Well, good.
But, yeah.
If I can't bend one of these ones.
If you bend it, there's going to be holes someplace, too.
As long as anyone parks on your roof, you'll be all right.
Yeah, that's how my last one got bent.
I think that person would probably have a hole in the oil pan before they're going to hurt the side. They're pretty sturdy.
I wonder if that team's coming back to Joker Wire Class this year. Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a team, but Tiffany and...
So.
We're gonna be diving into that. We're going to be looking a little bit at some of the compact stuff that's coming up. We had a couple of quick orders of business here. Happy birthday to Steven Evans, one of the guys that I've been known in motorsports media for a long, long time. He raced with us at Radio Hill over the weekend. Mike Cooley almost pulling off a win in the RC Derby. In the Outlaw class, we had three Outlaw cars show up, and two of them burned up motors, and that was in about 15 minutes. So that was kind of cool. It was a light turnout just because of the compact action that they had at Canandaigua Motorsports Park on Saturday. A lot of guys were getting ready for that. They had 20-some cars turn out for that. Mike Schroeder, one of the Penn Yan guys, coming away with a win in that one. So that was good to see.
Hillbilly Hammer was there?
Mike. Oh, he was?
Yep.
I didn't see the full rundown. My dad was there taking photos and said that some of the compacts that rolled out were interesting takes on compacts. Some of them were, like, just absurd cages, like what Jake would build in his for a stock show, you know?
And absolutely.
But, joining us on the line right now, we've got Tommy Woodbury. We'll jump into him real quick. One final thing that I wanted to hit on is a longtime friend of ours from our area, Nick Serino, he was in a drag racing accident and ended up motorcycle accident.
358 modified.
358.
At Victoria, at Fulton. I think it might have been the first race he ran.
It could be. I'm
flipped on the back stretch and got onto the wall.
And injured himself pretty bad. He's confined to a wheelchair now, and his family's trying to round up the funds to get a new wheelchair and a new lift for him. He's living down in Texas now. His daughter Teresa reached out. So we've attached a tag underneath the show post. If anybody's got a few extra bucks to throw Nick's way, it'd be appreciated. We're going to be promoting this on the 31st lap this Thursday, and then in 2 weeks we'll have some more conversation about it on the Final Round Drag Racing podcast as well. It was impressive, the support they've got so far. They need about 12 grand to make it possible, and in 3 days they're just about halfway there, which isn't too bad, you know, all things considered. So if any of the community can do it, I know that's not a name that you probably recognize from drag racing, but it's definitely a name that we recognize from motorsports and in all various iterations. He was avid with drag racing and certainly with the circle track stuff as well. So hopefully we can help that family out a little bit. Tommy Woodbury now. Turning our attention to Tommy as he gets ready for his first ever venture into the deep waters of the Bash for Cash. A little bit different build than you're used to, I think.
Yeah, it's been a lot heavier than anything I've ever attempted to do before.
A guy like you that's got a ton of experience building Fords and a ton of experience building Derby cars, and you've had some world-class experience in Vermont out there, but nothing quite like this. Is this something that you spend a lot of time working the phones and getting input from friends that have done it before, or have you sort of sequestered yourself into the garage and sort of just tried to find your own way?
A lot of help from some friends that have built these cars before. I've been to Bash a couple times to look around. I'm learning I should have taken a lot more pictures.
Yeah. No doubt.
Is that frowned on? You got to get permission to do that, or are you just going to sneak the pictures?
Some people will let you take pictures.
I always ask first.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have the guy that you had to drag out from underneath the car by a foot?
No, that was me and Ben.
That was you guys.
Rome.
How'd that go?
It went fine for me. He looked a little nervous. I was all right with everything.
So at this point, what's left to do on the car? I see Duncan's already got paint on his car, Duncan Cram. He's going to be making the drive out as well. A lot of new bodies making their way to Bash for Cash this year. Over 550 entries before you factor in the power wheels and before you factor in the lawnmowers, because those are essentially counted that day. You know, what's where are you at in terms of the build process? You said we had to borrow 15 minutes from your clock tonight to get you on.
I've got a little bit of welding left, and I've got to finish plumbing my fuel system and put my switch panel in. Other than that, I'm waiting for my front rims and tires to show up. I had them sent out, and they should be back hopefully before Thursday. And then I got to make up a set of rims and tires for the back of the car tonight.
So that's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. You could do that overnight if you had to.
A little more work than stock stuff I'm used to, but it'll be all right.
How's that acclimation process? I mean, you're rethinking the build entirely, and you've got a lot more structural help inside the car to get it to bend and roll and do the things that you want to. What's this mentally been like in terms of putting this many spools of welding wire into a car?
It's more than I've ever done before, but luckily I use a lot of the same drop process to make the car bend as a stock car. It's just slowing the process down was the hardest part for me, figuring out how to make it bend right and not do it in three hits. A lot of input from close friends, Jake Norris, great builder up here, really gave me a lot of help. A few other people sent me some pictures. It took a lot of time, probably longer than it does most guys, but the best I could do.
You were talking about trying to get the car to last more than three hits. How much were you finished with, and then you ended up rethinking, cutting apart, and starting back over on?
Well, I don't know. I know, you watch these shows, and usually the back half of the car is the weaker link. There's not as much weld from the rear end back.
Mm-hmm.
So to get the back of the car to roll right was probably what I concentrated the most on. We'll see how this one goes and figure it out maybe a little better on the next one.
Given this is your first year and you don't know what the car is going to do, are you putting your eggs in the basket of trying to qualify through the heat based on being one of the last ones running, or are you going to try and punch that ticket as a mad dog?
I will probably attempt to go the full length of the heat. I've gone away from the heavy-hitting mad dog stuff lately. it doesn't work out so good for me anymore.
Right.
I usually end up hung up on somebody every time I try that now.
Does Annette know how much you've actually spent to put this car together?
Yes, she does. She's actually been the number one supporter of the whole thing. I wasn't going to do it. She pushed me into making the final decision and actually sent my entry in without me knowing.
That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Annette firmly in Tommy's corner. She's driven before. Next year, you're going to be building two of these?
I don't think we'll build two of these, but I don't. No, and she's not going to get to run this year. We got some stuff we got planned, so not as many cars will be built this year. I bet this year back in a good quality car within the next 2 years, though.
What's your schedule like? How's this changed your plans for 2016? This thing, this monster, obviously chewing up a lot of the clock because it takes so much time to put it together. As you said, you got to slow the build process down. and kind of focus a little bit more on each individualized step of building the car. What's this done to your schedule? Are you still going to be able to run all the places that you typically go?
I think I'll be able to make most of them. I'm probably going to cut back on more the local shows that I ran.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't build as many cars for those. I'll hope to get multiple runs out of one or two cars. Still plan on going back to Brockton. We enjoy that show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hoppington later in the fall. I've had really good luck there the 2 years in a row, so we're going to try to make that show again.
Hoppington, was that the show that had been a heavier build rules show, and then it went stock, and now it's gradually starting to build back up with some heavier build sets?
Yeah, it was a pretty much an Imperial Derby for all the time I knew about it. I never ran when it was the Imperial show. Then for a few years, it got taken over by another production company, and now Woodbooger Demolish Derby runs it. It's not stock. We're allowed to do mounts and cage, but it's not a super heavy build for sure.
Yeah, it's not the ultra stock rules that Woodbugger typically runs, especially at that Northeast Championship show. You guys won a couple team championships at that event. Is that part of your plan still as well, or are you just going to go at it solo?
No, we plan on returning for the team show again this year.
Same group of guys?
Right now it's me and my buddy Zach and my brother-in-law. We're waiting on the fourth guy to confirm with Duncan picking to run some out of state stuff this year. He really wanted to concentrate on that, and
sure.
Instead of spending a lot of time building the stock show cars, he wanted to run a couple out of state places this year.
Hard to argue. I mean, once you go to the extreme and you've got all this stuff, you kind of want to use it. Where did you get all of your aftermarket stuff from? Is there one particular vendor that you stuck with? Or did you build a lot of it on your own, for that matter?
I pretty much just piecemealed stuff together. I ended up buying some stuff off Joker when he was selling a bunch of parts he had. So I got an older IFD cradle and a ski ink tranny brace I put together. I went to Sturgis and was able to pick up a set of wicked spindles down there. I put ball joints together through the race car magazines, and the rear end actually I borrowed from Jake Norris and put that together because my original plan fell through, and he was able to help me out.
What was your original plan?
I was going to build a full floater,
mm-hmm.
and I just couldn't get the parts here quick enough. And I didn't have the time because I ended up having to have surgery over the winter, which sidetracked me for about a month on it, and it really cut into my time.
In terms of the rear end that you're borrowing, what piece is that? Was that one of the ones he put together?
It's one he had used and put together, and it wasn't complete yet. So I ended up adding some pieces to it with fresh axles and the axle savers on it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was there, pretty much just had to be welded on.
Jake's a good guy. We ran into him. He ran Chaos in the Valley last October. We saw him down there with a welded car.
Yep.
He showed up.
He ran down there in a Lincoln, I think, last year.
Brookfield for the fair show this year, but I don't think he ran. I think there was a little drama there.
He went to the fair show
in Brookfield
in 2016.
Yeah, the Madison County.
Yeah,
I think there was. I think his car got protested or something. But yeah, he's always been real helpful online. If you have any questions or anything like that, seems like a pretty cool dude.
Josh likes.
He's been very helpful for me.
Well, anybody that Josh likes is automatically a good dude.
It's a vote of confidence right there. If Josh likes him, they got to be a good guy.
Absolutely.
You're making a funny smile down there.
No, I was just laughing.
What he was doing was trying not to spray water all over the microphone, I think.
That too.
You alluded to Thursday. Thursday's the magic time. What time are you rolling out Thursday to get there?
We'll be headed out Thursday afternoon, hopefully by 5, so early evening. I'll have, Zach Daniel's running also, so I'm hauling out both cars.
How many hours do you figure it is for you guys? It's got to be, what, 12?
No, it's going to be more than that.
Between 12 and 14, depending on traffic and how many stops we have to make.
Just carry empty bottles in the truck and run hammer down. You'll be all right.
Yeah, we got a couple drivers, so we'll be all set.
There you go.
Because I think last year they left at the same time we did, and I think we beat them by maybe an hour. So they made up pretty good time last year.
Yep.
How far was your tow when you guys went?
Well, it was probably the tow was 11 hours, but the two flats kind of extended my time a little bit.
Yeah.
So I would say probably 12 and a half total.
You had the chance to get out there and run last year. Is it something that you've got it out of your system? You want to go do it again?
Oh no, I'd like to run again. It's just the timing. This weekend or the Memorial weekend. It's a traditionally a family weekend at my house. We do a reunion and have basically a party from Friday to Monday afternoon, camping and all that kind of stuff. So I skipped last year, went down, and this year I'm going to hang out and do some building, and next year. Hopefully we'll get back on the map and get back down there.
You got to make up for lost time, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm behind. I'm way behind.
Getting ready for King's of Old School with that car, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much done. A couple of just odd and end stuff. I had to pick up some parts on the way here, actually, some race parts that I needed. And then
race parts?
Yeah, some braided brick lines and fittings, A&M fittings and all that kind of stuff. Just.
Man, that's expensive. Bill. Poor guys can't do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I use zip ties and
$200.11 for some brake lines. But you know what? I'm sick of buying them every year.
If Brian wants braided brake lines, he weaves them all together and puts three times the oil in.
Yeah, exactly.
But it just seems like you spend more time bending stuff and then trying to go from car to car with it. And I said, I just had enough. I'm going to put the braided lines in and be done with it.
I got brakes on my car this weekend. It wasn't as terrible as it has been in the past. So, but at one point I was debating whether or not brakes were really that important on a derby car. So
they weren't probably for my first 5 years or so, and then after that,
they come in handy.
I almost ran over an official in Afton. I'm going to say late '90s, and. Ever since then, it really kind of woke me up a little bit, you know. So I said, you know what, it's not worth it. So I almost try to get brakes on everything, at least when I get out there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Even if it's just one wheel.
I just wish Waterloo would go to letting us run sliders so we could just put the pinion brake on it and done.
But that's what I went to this year.
So the inspectors told me as long as he's there, they won't be running sliders.
Period.
Yeah, no, period.
There's not even like a
No chance of talking about it, just done. It's okay. Well,
you get them in the modified class, all right?
I don't know. I wouldn't. That's too much work for me.
Yeah. I looked at it. I was very close to signing up, and I just didn't know. I just didn't think I'd have time. I'm still way behind on my Father's Day car for Gully Spinning Wheels show.
Yeah.
And that was my main car this year. Or that was the plans to build a couple cars for his shows. That was my main plan, and I'm way behind.
The Coronet that I bought that with all intentions of either going to Boonville or going to Gully's Father's Day show. Mm-hmm. And then right now at work, we have 14 orderable shifts for next week that have to be filled. So we're not getting off a whole lot of time. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it to Gully's show, which really sucks, but that was my intention. So. But now I'm probably going to end up just running that car as a heat car at Waterloo and then see if I can scrape something together if I happen to make the feature. But see how it goes.
Two questions that came out of that conversation that I got for Tommy. One, what do you do for your brake options at the stock shows, and what do you do for your brake options for Bash for Cash? Obviously, you've got the slider, you've got the pinion brake in there. Did you leave any brakes on the perimeter of the car for Bash for Cash?
I'm running a pinion brake for Bash for Cash. My stock show cars, I run both rear brakes and usually a left front.
Yeah.
I like to be able to stop. I've almost run over an official as well, so you got to be careful.
And then the second one, building off of what Brian said, talking about having a heat car and what Jake said in terms of having something you could run a couple times, you mentioned it as well. What if there's too much left of this car, if there's something left in it, how do you run that again any place at home? Is there some place that you can take it, or is this just going to have to sit out back and wait?
It looks like there's a modified show. They're going to be doing it in Mass.
Okay.
I might have to cut a few things, but I think we could probably run it there. If not, I'm going to haul it out to the Simply Go Smash, and hopefully there'll be enough cars to run it out there.
Yeah. So we would see it out here.
Jeremy said he thought there'd be enough cars if I brought it out to make a heat or something.
Didn't Tommy? Didn't you get into the two-man extreme class out there for San Filippo?
Yes, I did. That's going to be a whole different world for me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Who's going to be riding with you?
Zach Daniels.
Yeah. It's a good partner to have.
Got a car picked out yet?
But we haven't picked a car out yet. We're waiting until we get done with these bass rides, and then we got a few guys looking for stuff for us, and we'll go from there, I guess.
What do you ask, Jake? What do you have to sell?
No, I'm just curious. I'm going to probably run a two-door caddy, I think.
Are you going to buy...
I have one for sale.
Are you going to buy Bolton's full frame racks he's got for sale?
No.
It actually took a little longer than I thought for him to get that up for sale. I was pretty impressed.
If it had a title and it was a two-door, I'd be all over. I think right now I'm actually kind of looking more for a driver. I don't know if you've seen online Gully and Spinning Wheels. And
yeah, they're having a car show.
We're having a kind of like a cruising car show for us that got left behind from Bash this year. So we're going to do that the Sunday of Memorial Weekend. I think it's the 28th over at the stadium in Oxford, New York, which is right on 12.
A friend of mine's got a 66 Imperial. He drove to work today. Beautiful car.
Well, tell mine
it's
down.
Like, it's like the baby
Who's
blue
that,
color. Josh Gilmartin.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is that beautiful. The four-door or two-door?
Four-door. Beautiful car. He bought it from an old guy down Dansville way, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful. It's really – I think I got him talked into taking the stock exhaust off and putting duals on it.
Yes.
With a 440.
Yes.
Oh, that would just rumble.
Yep.
But hopefully he's going to do that.
There was one for sale. It was a 65 on 96 – up in right by the Manchester exit, and that now sits down on 14A at a house where a guy's got a driver Cadillac, and he's got a like an Oldsmobile Cutlass too, and they're all like, you know, like the Derby car era.
Is that like the back way to Ford Hall?
14A, yeah, you go down.
Yeah. He's got a nice selection.
He's got some nice stuff there.
Yeah,
but they're all road cars.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I don't.
I would buy them one day, and he actually had a motor hanging in his garage, and he was working on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got some. My buddy's Imperial is the same color as that one that sits there.
My Imperial is that color, too. And yep. It was not nearly as nice as either one of those. Those are nice cars.
Could have smashed it.
I think that's ended up what happened. That ended up being the case. I had two cars worth of parts to put the thing together and ran out of time for the project, and. Scott Grove bought it, and he ran out of time for the project and sold all of it in one fell swoop for like a grand to a guy out near Boston. All of it. Gone. I'm like, call me back next time. Next time I sell you a car and you're going to sell it for that, call me back. Because, I mean, as far gone as that car was, we easily could have gotten the money out of it for a derby car and then just started parting the stuff out on the internet.
I don't part anything out anymore.
I know. You throw it all away.
It goes in a dumpster. I'm so sick of dealing with people.
It comes.
Speaking of part, now,
when Jake strips a car, he takes it off overhanded, and anything that's potentially salvageable gets hit with a hammer or a screwdriver, gets bent in half, just to make sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Actually, you're right. I'd laugh because I think it was a 72 Imperial I bought out of Brooklyn. And it had, it was all, the interior was all redone, all three-tone leather, you know. And, I obviously picked it up as a smasher, brought it home, pulled the dash out, pulled all the interior and stuff out. Well, nobody wanted it at the time, so I took it out with a hammer, I threw it all in the dumpster, you know.
That's awesome.
There's this guy that shows up, and he's like, he asked me if he could have the stuff. And I said, well, you want to pull it out of the dumpster, you can take whatever you want. It's still on Craigslist now. He's trying to get like $300 for it.
Jeez.
Every time I search Imperial, it pops up, you know, he's just like, about 20 minutes away, and you know,
that's
it,
funny.
It pops up every time, and it's like, you know, you pulled it out of the dumpster, man. You know, maybe it's time to let it go.
It's funny, the Cadillac that I picked up in Ohio from Dave Diver. we went down there, and you know, the hood was loose, so he just put a ratchet strap over it and hauled it home. So I go open the hood, and you could definitely tell that it was at a scrapyard, because they cut the hood hinges, they cut the motor mounts. You can see where they caved in both fender wells taking it out. And I'm like, I got to talk to Dave, man. He was brutal taking this motor out of the motor transmission out of this car. But we started looking at that a little bit and started doing a little stripping on that. But that thing it must have had every package known to man. Because, I mean, even like the screws that hold the upholstery in, they got like chrome washers around them. And there is more hoses and crap running underneath that thing for coolers and everything else, and we're gonna take it all out and smash it.
Tommy, you said you had a Cadillac for sale.
I don't have a Cadillac for sale. I'd be looking for one though.
Oh,
I don't know if Jason wanted to sell one of his.
Actually, I got a bunch of metric caddies, but I only got three old iron caddies left.
Yeah, I got metric ones. That's not really what I'm looking for.
I don't know if you build them like Kenny Rosnell. Those things are pretty tough.
Yeah. They can hold their own, that's for sure. You're going to be in one in a couple of weeks when we get out to Northeast Smash Fest.
I am.
Midwest Smash Fest.
He's not building me a – he's building me a metric, but it's not a caddy for out there. Oh. He assured me the nose is going to be stout, and I said, okay.
That's all I got to worry about, right?
That's all I got to worry about.
Going forward. I'm talking to Tommy Woodbury about the Bash for Cash 2017 Ross County Fairgrounds. It's coming up this weekend, May 26th through the 28th, Ross County Fairgrounds in Chillicothe. Online, you can find more info, smashitdemo.com. 80s and newer, turn back the clock, and compacts all paying in excess of $10,000. They were approaching 600 entries last time we talked to them, which was just unbelievable. Weekend passes for adults, $75, kids 6 to 14 or 30. Single-day passes are available on Sunday for $30. Smash It is also going to be giving away Baldwin Engines at Blizzard Bash 2017. They've taken that event over, and all compact drivers registered for Blizzard Bash will be put into a drawing, 5 tickets each for Baldwin 3-1, and all the full-size drivers are going to be eligible with 5 tickets going into a drawing for a Baldwin 355. Again, Bash for Cash, May 26th through the 28th. It's coming up this weekend. We'll roll out Friday after school gets over with and make our way down that way. We alluded to it. Here's the info on it. Blizzard Bash 2017. It's a little ways away, but nonetheless, it's something that everybody
right
looks
around
forward
the quarter.
To. Yeah. Kansas Expo Center, Topeka, Kansas, November 9th through the 13th. On Thursday the 10th is the first round of action. Wednesday is going to be the pit party. 4 o'clock start time on Thursday, National Qualifying Team Round 1. Friday, November the 11th, RC Derby in the morning, and then 6 o'clock start time, National and Qualifying Team Round 2, along with the 14- to 17-year-old Youth Division. Saturday, November the 12th, 10 a.m., Compacts, Limited Weld, both those teams going through their first round of action. The evening session, 6 o'clock start, Power Wheels, all Team B mains, Trucks, Youth, Bone Stock also on the card. And then Championship Sunday brings us around. It's 1 o'clock start time, National Qualifying, Limited Weld, and Compact Team A mains on Sunday, November the 13th. Online, blizzardbash.com. You can find all the information about that one there. And Jake alluded to Spinner Wheels Productions. June 17th is their next one, Father's Day. We're going to be down there working the microphones for Jeremy Gully and Spinner Wheels Productions at the Spring Fling. It's at the Otsego County Fairgrounds in Morris. He's going to be spending a lot of time there through the course of the year. Limited Welds paying $1,200 to win, plus Economy V8s, Economy Compacts, and Trucks. Otsego County Fair at the same fairgrounds in Morris is August 3rd and 5th. The Wayne County Fair in Honesdale, Wayne County Fairgrounds, that's August the 4th. GDS Fair at the fairgrounds in Newfoundland, Pennsylvania is August the 25th. And then rounding it out, the show that we might see, Tommy Woodbury run two classes. Got to layer those concussions the right way. September the 30th, the San Felipe Smash at the Otsego County Fairgrounds again. And that's going to round out his season in addition to the cruise-in night that he's got planned for this weekend. Had a quick chat with Dustin Anderson. Mandan Team Show is coming up on Saturday the 10th. He got us the entry list. Awesome. We got a couple of people we definitely have to talk to. We're going to be talking with Dustin when we get back from Bash for Cash about that team show. Teams of four. Chris Lancaster's team's on the list. We know Sam Bando's got a team on the list. We'll go through that whole list with him a little bit more in detail when we talk with him. Just looking forward to this one a lot. It's a hard-hitting show. We're going to be pay-per-viewing the event from the Dakota Speedway on Longspur Trail in Mandan. You can get a hold of Ken Hoff if you have questions. 701-391-6211. Again, that's the Mandan Team Derby at Dakota Speedway, Mandan, North Dakota. If you have any other questions, you can also direct them to Dustin Anderson as well. So, Tommy, man, I'm glad everything's going good for you, and it's looking like everything's going to go smooth. Hopefully the travels treat you just as well as the build has.
I sure hope so. It's a long ride. I hope we get out there trouble-free and have a good weekend.
Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of before we let you go? I know you got a lot of time and effort invested in this car.
Yeah, there's a few people I'd like to thank. First, I've got to thank my wife, Annette. She's been the backbone and the person I'm doing this for. She really wanted me to succeed at it. And the rest of my family's backed me in every way they could. And then all the people I bought parts from. I bought a pile of stuff from Ryan at Catskill Fab, stuff from Joker, and a little bit everywhere. And hopefully we can make everything work and have a real great time out there this weekend.
We wish you the best of luck. We look forward to seeing you down there for sure.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to catch up.
Take care, Tommy. Good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you.
There goes Tommy Woodbury getting ready for his first ever foray into the Bash for Cash. Good to see that they're continuing to draw more and more new drivers. Forger is wheelhouse. So, I mean, he certainly knows him inside and out, and he's a guy that can build. So we'll see how he fares. Last year, Johnny Gayhart coming away with a win in the 80s and newer class. Or excuse me, in the, right, 80s and newer class.
I believe so, yeah.
And then one of the bronze. Hard to believe one of the bronze won the old iron class.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
And we talked about quite extensively the story of David Tillery booking the family trip to Disney. I don't know if he's booked any trips, but I know he's got a car, so expect him to be hanging around there at the end as
Rutherford
well.
Rutherford and crew are running trucks there, aren't they? Did I see that somewhere?
He's got. I know they've got compacts put together.
I thought they said they were bringing trucks.
They ran their trucks.
Yeah, but I thought they said that
they may be for.
I thought I saw that on Facebook. Maybe not. I could be wrong.
Honestly, I haven't been bugging them too much just because I know they were getting their stuff together. It's entirely possible. They usually listen. They'll let me know the mistake here momentarily, I'm sure. But I got to get hold of
a lot of local people running out there. I was really surprised seeing it, especially some compact drivers really getting out of the area and getting down there. It's pretty awesome.
Did you see the car that Syop was built for Jimmy Johnson? That's a pretty nasty looking car. Pretty nasty looking Buick.
Nice. Would it be anything else?
Well, you know, he likes some Buicks pretty well.
Yeah. He's pretty particular.
Pretty particular. I think it's going to be a crazy show. I see Pete was working on his wagon. I think that's ready to go.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if he'd have had a little more luck. Him and Steve would have had a little more, Syopa had a little more luck in the feature last year. That would have been a heck of a feature.
Transmission
problems for Pete, and then Steve got stuck. But both of those wagons were nasty tough. Yeah. Nasty tough. Did you guys stay for that? Or did you leave right after?
No, we stayed.
Did you? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, looking back now, it would have been awesome if we loaded before, because, I mean, that rain was crazy.
Oh, that's right. You guys did it. You guys loaded in the rain, didn't you?
That was crazy.
That's what the story was. Yes, now I remember.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. The build quality out there is really, really impressive. That's for sure.
Ohio style. I looked at the forecast. I don't want to jinx anything, but
stop.
High of 81 and clear all weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, that's perfect microburst weather.
No, I think that's what they had last year, because all of a sudden the wind changed and it got cold right now and the sky opened up.
And that was the tale of the season last year. We had that happen three more times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Three more times.
It's good thing electronics are waterproof.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I'm hoping good weather. Like I said, I got pounded with overtime for the last few weeks, so I took 2 weeks off.
Nice.
Starting, I don't know, 3 hours ago. So after I go home and self-medicate, then we'll really get down to
build the derby stuff.
It's all going to be garage time. It's going to be long days, but we'll get them done. Mm-hmm. We'll get them done, get them out.
We got Ed Brewster joining us on the hotline. Ed, man, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
You bet. Now, you had some adverse travel last year. You got all that stuff straightened out now?
I sure hope so, Chris. Last year was an alternator, and as I've said before, I'm the luckiest fool who walks face to the earth with a breakdown but 100 feet away from an alternator shop. So anything goes wrong this year, I hope I have the same luck. But I think the old Expedition will make it.
I hope you don't have any of the bad luck to begin with, and you can get to the show without any hitches. You said that the phone's been ringing off the hook, and you've been sending stuff basically over to the post office every other day with everybody getting ready for the RC version of Bash for Cash.
Yeah, Chris, let me tell you, people at the post office, we're on first-name basis now. I see them every day there and there. And, last few weeks there's been a push for a lot of stuff for Bash for Cash. Matter of fact, we're down to building the cars that I'm going to come with finally, and hopefully over the next two nights we can get those done.
You'll sell them. You'll sell them by morning. You won't have anything to run.
Yeah. It's just getting ready for the bash 20-hour days before, and then major excitement once you get there and you kind of forget about all that hard work you did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, amazed at the bash every year. It just keeps getting better and better.
The neat thing about the Bash for Cash RC Derby this year that Ed's involved with, along with the Syopas and John Cash, and you've got Jason Sauer working on it, and Casey Smith all kind of teaming up, they're giving away. Did you say there was a bunch of different RC cars that are going to be given away as raffles to kids? And let me know a little bit more about what that process is like.
Well, we're getting everything together hopefully tomorrow for these. The bodies have been built. They're out to the painters, and they're coming back in now. And just a matter of getting, let's see, we're going to have five given away. John Cash, J.C. Miley's are giving away two pickup trucks fully ready to run. King Siopas, let's see, they've had an Imperial built and painted by Jason Sawyer. They're going to be giving that away. Let's see here, Smith Metalworks. They have put up one to give away to a lucky kid. And let's see, I almost feel like I'm forgetting somebody here. Smith Metalworks, Iopas, J.C. Miley's. All these guys will be handing out raffle tickets to kids. And they get a free car and a chance to run in the derby.
Is there any cost to get into the raffle, or is it just for kids and it's free?
They're going to be handing these out to kids for free.
Awesome.
Very cool.
So, I mean, they're legitimately being given away.
It's a push to hopefully bring the youth more into derby and kind of give them a stepping stone, prime them up for going to the real derby world.
And if the kids get involved, you know Dad's going to.
Absolutely. Are you running out there, Chris?
No, I don't think so. We'll see.
The only disappointment I've got this year is it looks like, again, I won't be able to run in it.
My focus is probably going to be on helping Ed get everything together. I don't have anything that's even close to fresh enough to try and bring out there and compete. Last year, I ended up driving for like 45 minutes with no steering, with David Tillery chasing me around, knocking me out of holes. So I had nothing. Alan's really rough on equipment. I don't know if you know that or not.
Really?
But I've got one car with a blown motor, another one with a burned up transmission right now in the basement, and we've been so busy with.
So then you just swapped it to. You take the good motor, put it with a good tranny, you're good to go.
Well, it's not quite that simple. He already had his hands on the one that's got the bad transmission. So I'm suspect of the rest of what's going on with it. It only will turn to the left. The servos will spit. So I haven't made time or put in the effort to get the thing together because I know Alan's not going. He's not going to want to drive. And it's going to be better to me to spend my time helping that out and doing some of the video stuff that I lost my train of thought there. I just had a text message from home that caught my attention over here to the side.
Another good thing.
Doing our interviews and stuff on Venice Road.
With JMW up there, he's going to run the truck class this year.
Yeah.
We're putting him in a Performance Dynamics truck, one of our sponsors, and looking forward to hanging out with Butch again.
Nice.
And also, we brought on a team driver this year, Chrissy Warner. She got a Cadillac from us a few months back, and she placed eighth at Motorama at a 30-some, and then went on to take two wins and a second place. And when I was up Stoneboro hanging out with her, I asked her if she would like to drive for Team J&W, so we're putting her in a truck, and also she's taking a Cadillac to the regular National Derby as well.
In terms of the procedure, if I remember everything that we had talked about correctly, it's going to be $20. Basically, $20 is going to get you into a qualifying heat and a consolation round, and then if you don't make it through your qualifying heat, you got the option of doing a $10 buy-in for additional heats, and it's going to be 100% payback, correct?
That is correct, Chris. Yeah, we're going to dole the money out. I've had a lot of questions, you know, about what the payout's going to be in court. I don't know. It depends on how many entries we get. But we are going to pay back full entry, 70% to first place, 20 to second, and 10 to third place, as well as nice trophies and some other gear going along with it.
And if I understand correctly, it's going to be a rollout of a little bit of an improved on-track package. So basically, heats are going to have an allotted amount of time with unlimited saves for everybody. And then after that time expires, it goes back to heads up. So it gives everybody a chance to run a little bit harder, and they don't have to be quite so conservative.
Right. I've been very impressed with the format of running that way, Chris, and we're definitely bringing that to Bash this year. And everything I've seen running under this format, it's just been all out to the wall. I mean, everybody just really going for it hard for the whole match. And that's kind of what we're looking for. And I guess Bash for Cash will be the good test for this format.
Well, it's a money drivers event.
Absolutely.
If you look at it that way. So we'll have to see how that whole thing plays out for you. But, you know, wish you the best. Is there anybody? I know you mentioned Performance Dynamics. There's a bunch of other people that are making the show happen with you. Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of?
Yeah, Chris, if you give me maybe 30 seconds here to run through them.
Sure.
Fort Cal RC has been with us since the beginning. And I mentioned, as you mentioned, too, Performance Dynamics. They're now the top sponsor on the truck class. Steel Horse Harley Davidson's with us, Boca Bearing Company, First Priority Restoration, Team Associated, RC Parts and so forth. And then, of course, I got to mention all the guys that have come together with J&W to give these trucks away to the kids. It's just fantastic what's going on here. So, you know, I got to throw it out to Smith Metalworks, Team Sciopa, Tim Clark, and Jason Sawyer have put one up as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just great that this is happening and bringing these kids more into it. And one thing I got to say here, I'm probably going to get punched for this one because John doesn't want me to say anything, but John Cash has definitely been driving forward behind putting this together. Got with him just a few weeks ago with an idea, and John took it and run with it, and so here we are. We're ready to give away 5 vehicles this year.
Awesome. Well, good work with that, and again, travel safe. Hopefully you have better luck this year, and I'll see you in a couple of days here when we all get out there to Chillicothe for Bash for Cash 2017.
Sounds awesome, Chris. Looking forward to seeing y'all there. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
You bet. We'll see you later.
All right.
There goes Ed Brewster.
Last year's show was in the dirt, right?
Trip.
It started on grass, and you ran it down to dirt.
It was... Run that by me again?
Last year's show, they started with grass hair, but by the end of the weekend, you guys had it down to dirt.
Yeah.
It wasn't on the asphalt.
Yeah, it wasn't on asphalt, no.
But it was right behind Vendor's Row.
Yeah, Bash for Cash has never been on asphalt, I don't think. The first year it was on the track between front stretch and the pit. It was on the horse track.
Yep.
Yeah, and there was only like 8 or 10 cars that showed up. Jason Kasmer, another RC Derby guy, he's got a birthday today. I saw that come across Facebook a little bit ago. But, yeah, he... there was 10, 12 cars that showed up. Last year there was, I think, 60 qualifying attempts, and some of the guys had dual entered, but I think we had figured out that there was 60 different cars. And Blizzard Bash, our first year, we had 50. I know there was one of the big shows that HTRC worked with in the Midwest. I can't remember which one it was. They had 51 or 52. Blizzard Bash last year was a team format, so there was 14 teams of four, so the numbers weren't as high as the open entry shows, but I expect 60 to 75 cars for this one, and you know, we'll reevaluate if people think that
you
they're
going to wear shin guards just in case.
Saturday, Sunday rather, I got tagged in the foot by a car and it tore up my toe. I was a little annoyed by that, but I mean, there's three cars and I got hit. I just couldn't be. Wasn't as nimble and fleet footed as I needed to be.
Once used to be.
Yeah, I guess so. It's one way of looking at it. Yep. So we gotta get. We're gonna wrap up the show with Matt Newcomb. We'll be talking with him here momentarily about the King of the Ring event over the weekend. Jason making the trip up here. We talked a little bit about what you're welding on and what you're working on. What else has been going on in the derby world for you?
That's about it. I've just been doing a little more internet derbying, I guess, than anything else. I've been seeing some cars come back, pictures of cars getting smashed over the last weekend. And
see, Rick Clark picked up another win.
What's that?
Rick Clark picked up another win in his wagon and I think a third in his Suburban. Can't remember where that was at, though. And then, of course, Ronnie McClung
in Tennessee, but
Ronnie McClung went somewhere in the States and picked up another Mad Dog, turned a Impala inside out.
Yeah, I think it was an ugly looking car.
I think he's running Bash for Cash this year. I almost think he's running the Joker Wire Clash.
Was that Ron?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he said he was.
Yeah, I think he's
it
coming.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think he's coming down to run the Wire Class, and I'm sure Rick will be back with the 80s and newer. He was right there at the end last year, and I believe ended up getting hung up in due to the rain. I think he got stuck and hung up and then got himself stuck. But definitely looking forward to it. I mean, this is always this is an awesome way to really kick off the summer derby season. I mean, you go out to the biggest derby in America. You know, some of the best builders and drivers, and you know, we mentioned Jimmy Johnson's going to be running a Buick there, and you know, Pete Hansen's coming back, and Mark and Steve Sciopa. Obviously, the Bronze will be back to defend the last. I think they've won it every year we've been there.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're obviously, you know.
Didn't it date to the year before?
I don't remember. I mean, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best. So obviously, they're the ones you got to, you know, try to beat this year. I don't think the Petros are running this year.
I don't remember seeing them last year either.
No, they weren't there last year. But it's going to be awesome.
Was the Heinens? They had those Cadillacs.
Yep. They'll be there. I'm sure. You know, Logan Duvall was working on an easy newer car. He's always got a nasty, nasty piece out there. And just looking forward to it, man. I can't wait to get out there.
It is going to be good. We've seen a lot of derbies already this year, too. I mean, Derby Nation going to be carrying Bash for Cash again this year, and it's going to be a good draw, because if you can't watch from the stands or you've got something going on, you can just pull it up on your phone just as easy on the grounds.
Yeah.
Watch what you miss and then make it up to the stands for when the drivers that you want to see are coming on. Or if you can't make the trip out because you got family obligations like Jake does, you can always pull it up. George Heinout going to be working with Mark Klein on the pay-per-view this weekend. And
it gives me an idea. I wonder
– go on.
I have to look at the timing on it or whatever, but the stadium is a sports bar. They got a ton of big-screen TVs.
There you go.
So maybe we do a cruise then. I can talk to them. Maybe we can get the show in on the big screen.
That'd be cool, right?
That's happened pretty regularly for the last week.
Not the first time.
There's been a lot of – usually Blizzard Bash, we get a pretty good roll because, you know, the weather's starting to get, you know, back this way. The Derby world's, you know, pretty much shut down by then. So we get just messages upon messages about guys and groups that have got together and they're watching at the local bar. That's really cool. I mean, it's cool that, you know, we can bring it together like that. So I'm sure there'll be some of that this weekend.
Can't promise anything because I don't know. You know, they're really accommodating people, man. They're awesome people. But I just don't know if the logistics are there to even do it.
Yeah.
But we'll find out. I'll find out as soon as show's over. I'll start making some calls.
There you go. He's on it.
It would be pretty cool. It would be neat. DerbyNation.tv. You can find it all there. We're going to be on Derby Nation TV again on the 10th of June. We go to Mandan, and it's looking like we're going to be on Derby Nation again July 15th when we go to the Midwest Smash Fest, which is coming up in Geneva, Nebraska. First cars only, two-man teams, $125,000 in payout, $20,000 for the first-place team, $15,000, $13,000, $11,000, $10,000. Chad Bumgarner in front of that one, 402-759-2583. That's 402-759-2583. And, well, we don't need Vats information up there. There we go. July the 15th in Geneva, Nebraska, Midwest Smash Fest. One of the guys that is also working close with that one, Matt Vern Newcomb, joining us on the phone because another one of those early season derbies just concluded on Saturday. King of the Ring, successful venture for you, man. It sounded like it was a pretty good one.
Yeah. Hey guys, how's it going tonight?
Hey.
Good.
Good. Say thanks for calling. bad weather, unfortunately. You know, this time of year, you always have that chance that it's going to happen. 3 years in a row at King of the Ring, just cool, wet day, and it worked out great though. We had a lot of misty type rain during the day. The sun tried to peek out once very briefly, and the clouds were playing tricks with us. It'd rain a little and then it'd quit, and then it'd start up again. And so normally we inspect the cars in the bluegrass there and have a nice clean area to roll under the cars and check them in. And this year we had to stage on gravel, and by the end of the day it looked like a cow pen mud lot. It was just a mucky, miry mess right there at the inspection area, but we got through it, and it was fun to I guess see how the track shaped up that night and stuff too. The fans came in and supported the Derby very well for as cool and wet as it was, because I think by showtime we were down to 42 degrees with a real strong northwest wind and quite a bit of moisture in the air. So I think the stands hold 2,200 there, and we were probably right around 90% full, and the pits were down just a little bit, but still really good attendance in the pits. It's just, like I told people all day long, you're going to find out who are fair weather Derby drivers and fans, and you're going to find out who really are true Derby fans and drivers and going to stick it and tough it out. So that was kind of fun.
Again, this is the biggest Basically, the biggest one-and-done derby I've ever seen. They take and they establish the field. Everybody goes in at one time. They run it down to halfway. And then from there, they take a break, and everybody has 45 minutes to fix their cars. And the cars that can come back, and then the rest of the event is concluded. So if you are eliminated in the first half, you're done. If you have stuff to fix and you've already essentially qualified for that second half, you're welcome to do whatever you got to do and come back out. Andy Hansen ended up coming away with the win in that one. Second place, Shea Walden.
Hard to believe, right?
Dylan Dittmer, Curtis Dittmer, Shane Rippon running through the top five. It was a, like you said, it was a mucky day, but it's something everybody sort of come to be used to. How did the track hold together with that many cars on it running for as long as they did?
You know, guys, that track is just unbelievable there. We've got a local excavating company that comes in and builds the track for us. And they actually didn't start building the track until Saturday morning because we knew with all the rain, if we tried to build it on Thursday or Friday, it was just going to be a huge lake and nowhere to get the water off the track. So they waited till Saturday. And what they do is they dig it down to the hard pan. And that's a real dark black gumbo dirt there. And Midwest Smash Fest in Geneva is going to be the same way. It's just the same kind of dirt. And you just do not, once you get down to that hard pan, the cars do not dig holes on the track at all. It's set up to be real nice, fast, tacky track. It was one of the better hard-hitting shows we've had at King of the Ring, to be honest with you. It just worked out great.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to getting out there. We haven't been in Nebraska for a derby yet.
Never.
And this one and the Midwest Smash Fest are two of them that I definitely want to see.
Always been on the list. Like I said, I've touched on it before. I remember when Derby videos first started getting big, the DVDs, there was always like Husker Havoc, and there was always shows, DVDs they were selling from Nebraska, and they were always just hard-hitting, intense shows. So really looking forward to going out there and checking that out.
Yeah, it'd be great to see you guys down there this summer. And honestly, our rules really do cater to multiple different styles and types of cars. We tried to, when we generated these rules, make it as even of a playing field as possible for the drivers with their car choices. And I actually, Chad Markley had came and introduced himself to me down there in the pits on Saturday. He was there attending the show and watching things. And he said, "I just can't believe how many new style Fords are at this show." And I said, honestly, guys like them in Nebraska and other states because they can pick them up cheap and they're a competitive car. So it was just kind of weird to look through it. There was 21 actually new style 80s Ford cars in the top 30. There was like 8 old iron GM and 1 wide frame remote car. So just to kind of give you guys an idea. And then the top 10, there was 6 new style Fords and 4 old iron GM. So it just, we've seen 80s Ford win the show twice now, and we've seen old iron GM win it once. So it could be anybody's game. It's always fun to see how that all kind of unfolds.
That Y-frame Mopar, Brian was pumping his fist over there. If it finished in the top,
I figured that'd get Brian excited.
If it finished in the top 30, it would have been 33rd. That's what happens with those.
He was actually right at 11th place, and I'm an old Mopar guy, so I always appreciate seeing a Mopar come to the shows and
see if
they can get them figured out or not. But a lot of people just turn up their nose and think they're not a fun car to run or not a good one to build. But the bottom line is now they're kind of becoming a less desirable car and cheaper to pick up as well. So you never know, you might see more in the future.
Yep. That's the thing. I mean, Mopars, I've always had a good nose, but just sooner or later you got nothing left of the tail end. And you get them bent up in the front. But I mean, I've had a lot of fun. I've ran, that's all I've basically ran for most of my career was Shocker. So.
And one tilted like but not tilted Ford.
What's that?
And one tilted but not tilted
yeah,
Ford.
That too.
Mopar just, when they go fast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, and the first time I ran the 70s, my first 75 Cadillac, I remember hitting a Mopar Shocker at Penn Yan, and I didn't even hit it hard, and we just kind of like tapped, and I could see the front of his car go up like that, and I'm like, no way, that's pretty cool. And I was kind of sold on Cadillacs after that, so I got I tried one here a while ago and got another one for this year if I get it done and make it to a feature. So we'll see how it goes. But I still have a soft spot in my heart for Mopars. That'll have a Mopar drivetrain in it.
And you've got the shoot, I'm blanking. At Plymouth.
Yeah, Cornette. Yeah, that's got the that'll have full Mopar drivetrain, and then the my Cadillac will have a full Mopar drivetrain.
That's a pincher Cornette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Just like a Cadillac or just like a Cordoba.
Matt, I know Derby Parts was a big part of making this one happen for you.
Yes, they were. They were our corporate sponsor. They gave us a nice donation to increase our purse from $18,000 to $19,000. And we took and spread that money around. We put an extra $500 in first place and increased 15th through 20th with their money. It was nice. They vended in the pits. I know they got a lot of advertising. They sponsored a driver there that night and had a nice wrap on his car that said derbyparts.com. And it was pretty cool. Old Andrew Lewis from Nebraska, number 44. It's been a long time since I've seen somebody just completely yard sale track shot, half track shot after another on cars. He was there to win the Mad Dog. You could just tell he didn't want to drive for the victory. He came to put on a show, and he had that LS wound up and that 80s Bubble Lincoln just lighting it up and tearing people up. So it was good for Derby Parts to have their sponsored car have good recognition and showing like that. And, you know, we're just really thankful to Sharon and Jerry Mueller from derbyparts.com. Guys, check out their website. They got a lot of awesome products.
Awesome. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and glad the show was so successful for you. We'll certainly be in touch as we get closer to the Midwest Smash Fest. That's coming up on July the 15th in Geneva, Nebraska. Anxious to get out there. It's going to be a good time.
That sounds great, guys. Appreciate the time, and it's always good to visit with you. We'll look forward to seeing you at Geneva.
We'll see you soon.
Yep, take care.
Thanks, Matt. There goes Matt Vern Newcomb. Once again, winner of that Andy Hansen. Pulling down the victory in the third.
That'd be cool to see. I'd like to see that. How many cars do they start with?
They take, we talked about it last week, I think they take 60 pre-registered cars. And I had, my memory says two maybe dropped out. But I think the track can only hold that many, and they run it down to like 30. And then after that, those 30 are invited back after repair period.
I feel like I had a lot of fun. Like when the two times I ran the State Fair when it was still a good derby. You'd go out there with like...
It was?
Yeah.
At one point? All right.
But I mean, you'd go out there with like 70 cars, and it was just fun. I mean, I had fun out there because there was just so much, you know, action. And
For you, it was so much to hit. There was plenty of things to hit. You could run into everything.
The first year I ran, I sandbagged like you wouldn't believe. I would make Brett Rellier, Mark Benjamin, whoever you want to call a sandbagger, I would make them proud for the way I drove the first year. Second year, I went up and I was on the gas a little more than I should have been. But I had fun doing that too. But I just think it's more fun. You get all those cars out there together. Like the show I won at Utica Rome, there was like probably 30 cars on the track for that. I mean, that was enormous because they gave you like the whole front stretch of Utica Rome plus into the infield. And there was all sorts of room. That was really fun too.
Nice to get up by the wall and ride that banking down in the infield and tattoo people.
I've done that. I've done that a couple of times, but it's I think that'd be a fun show to, you know, to put on the bucket list and give it a shot. It sounds like it'd be a fun show. I mean,
all the features that you've won at Waterloo had at least 27 cars in the main event.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. How many times did you run Waterloo?
One.
Okay.
One.
I thought my stat book was wrong.
What's that? Oh yeah.
I mean, we were having, you know, back in the day, it was 200 cars a night, but they were so fast-paced to feature, you were lucky if you get 5-6 cars at.
Oh, yeah, that was always the problem. Honestly, in the old school, sorry, Josh Buell, for talking about this, but the old school days of Waterloo, that would be the problem because the heats were 22 to 28 cars, and they'd take the last car running best of show.
Yep.
And the best of show is always junk. So, you know,
it was a big deal when they went to first, second, or best of show.
Yeah, it was. That was real big. So, I mean, you'd have, you know, the guys that won the heat usually have decent cars. You'd get a few of the best of show guys, mm-hmm. but they'd pretty much be junks. I mean, there wouldn't be that many cars in the feature. I mean, there was probably, I don't know, 12 or 15 the night I won. But now, you know, they do it a little different. They take a few more cars. So there's usually around 20, 22, maybe 25 in the feature, but
it's still pretty cool. It's a cool idea. I remember Black Rock, I'm going to say, I don't know, probably early 2000s, somewhere in there. They had a derby on the same day they did like a big enduro race there. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. We actually on ran the derby in the interim of the race where all the cars that were left running, they left them everything right on the track. Yep. You had to, if you wanted tires or fuel or whatever your issue was, you had to bring everything, jacks, everything all out on the track, fix it. And, you know, nothing moved.
Yep.
It sounded like this one, they actually pulled all the cars off the track and you got to the pits and fixed them and stuff. But that's kind of neat to think about, you know, getting a couple guys out and changing tires right on the track and, you know, cleaning out the dead cars and, you know, giving everybody a little more room to run. And that's a pretty cool concept.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, we are at the top of the hour. That's going to do it for this one. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Again, we're going to be doing some stuff on our own live on the side, and you can always watch all the action as it happens on DerbyNation.tv with Mark Klein and the crew from DerbyTees.tv. Action starts Friday, then Saturday, championships handed out on Sunday. That's going to do it for this one. Appreciate all the guests coming on and being part of it. Again, well wishes continue to go out to Russ, Russ Clark, Tim, done an awesome job of wearing all the hats this time around. Thanks to Tommy Woodbury for taking a break. Donnie Hartzell was going to be with us. He's so backed up on his car, he couldn't make it to do it. And pretty much everybody I've talked to was in the same boat trying to get their stuff done. So everybody, hopefully, they get everything put together.
Just one thing I want to touch on quick. They're making some shirts for Russ, for the benefit Russ. They got the picture of the Imperial. I'm sure a lot of people saw it on Facebook. They'll be selling those at the Derby, at Bash for Cash, says Frank the Tank. Can't remember what the price was. I think I didn't want to say because I'm not positive, but
it's for a good cause.
Yeah, everybody go out, you know, buy a shirt. You know, Russ and Tim have done a lot for the Derby world, obviously. So, I mean, I really think we should, you know, get behind and, you know, sell these shirts out as quick as we can and try to help those guys out a little bit.
It's a great cause. Josh Scott's working on those. Jump online, track them down, grab a couple. It's a good cause. That's going to do it for this one. We'll see everybody next week.
The Crash Course Live is presented by Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.